This is VOA's Plugged In Podcast.
Immunization under the microscope.
The shock of him choosing to immunize.
This episode of Plugged In, a look at the growing threat from outbreaks of vaccine-preventable disease. From measles to mumps and even polio. Debilitating diseases, once thought to be on the decline, now on the rise. Why so many outbreaks and why now? Should you be worried?
These vaccines are well shown to be safe.
And who has the right to decide who should and should not be vaccinated?
Hello and welcome to Plugged In. I'm Jim Malone, filling in for Greta Van Susteren. Measles outbreaks are on the rise. Despite a measles vaccination rate of 85%, the World Health Organization reports that more 110,000 people, most under the age of five, died from measles-related deaths in 2017. Here in the United States, nearly 350 outbreaks were reported last year. That's the second largest number of cases since 2000. The same year, many health experts believed that measles had been eradicated in the continental United States. Public health authorities are struggling to cope in communities where vaccination rates are low. And as VOA's Mike O'Sullivan reports, experts blame the rising number of outbreaks on a growing movement of people who see vaccines as dangerous.
While measles persists in other parts of the world, mostly because of a lack of resources to vaccinate people, in the United States, a growing number of people are reluctant to vaccinate their children because they fear it's dangerous.
And we have growing pockets of susceptibility, so that when we do have someone travel from New York to Israel or from Europe to Disneyland or whatever you envision, we have the opportunity for much larger outbreaks.
There are now measles cases in 15 states, including outbreaks in Washington and New York. California, Mississippi, and West Virginia do not allow exemptions from vaccinations, except for medical reasons. 47 states allow exemptions.
Of those 47, there are 18 that also allow non-medical exemptions for reasons of personal or philosophical beliefs, and that's where the battleground is.
Most people recover from measles, but in the United States, one in 1,000 who contract the disease will die. The anti-vaccine movement gained momentum when a 1998 study, later retracted, linked autism to the MMR vaccine that inoculates against measles, mumps, and rubella, giving ammunition to critics.
Nobody can scientifically say whether the MMR is actually causing more harm than measles, mumps, and rubella. The reason for that is, like other vaccines, it's not required to be safety tested.
But public health agencies and major medical organizations say after decades of use, the MMR vaccine has been proven safe and highly effective. The autism link has been repeatedly disproven, says vaccine researcher Dr. Peter Hotez, whose daughter has autism. He says misinformation is spread on social media with messages targeted by region.
So with Texas, they see the soft underbelly being the far political right, the Tea Party, and they use Tea Party language. Up in the Pacific Northwest, in Washington State or Oregon, they might use language of the far left.
The battle is being fought state by state.
The parents know more about what's good for that child than corrupted regulatory agencies and big pharmaceutical companies.
Medical experts say the vaccine is essential to public health because measles is highly contagious.
Even if you don't share the room with the person at the same time, the virus can remain in the air for at least a couple of hours,
infecting anyone who is susceptible and potentially causing deadly outbreaks like many underway around the world. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
For more on why we are seeing so many outbreaks, we are joined by VOA health reporter Carol Pearson, my colleague. Welcome, Carol.
Thanks
for coming in. I wanted to ask you, you know, we are used to hearing about and seeing the challenges around the world to vaccinate at-risk populations, but What is going on in the United States in recent months? It just seems to be issues cropping up in various parts of the country for different reasons.
It's not just in recent months. First of all, Andrew Wakefield, the doctor who lost his medical license for publishing a false study in The Lancet in 1998, now lives in Texas. And although he has lost his license to practice medicine, he's still very active in the anti-vaccine movement. And as we heard in or saw in Mike O'Sullivan's report, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he said that there is no real scientific data to prove that the MMR vaccine is more safe or less safe than the disease itself. And that is absolutely false. We have lots and lots of studies. Just recently, a Danish study that looked at a large number of children between 1999 and 2010. And they found that the rate of autism between those who had been vaccinated and those who had not been vaccinated was about the same.
Right.
So vaccines do not cause autism, and that has been proven or disproven multiple times, and that's what started this whole vaccine movement.
Right, but I mean, it seems to have morphed into different objections now, and we have all these outbreaks around the country. And if you look at what's going on in the Pacific Northwest, in Oregon and Washington State, it's various reasons given that people do not want the government telling them what to do, or they feel invaded in their own bodies. I mean, what is the challenge here for public health officials with all these variety now of objections?
Well, there are medical reasons. Anybody who would be allergic to these vaccines needs to be exempted. Then there are religious reasons. A very small number of religions prevent their children from being vaccinated. It seems like the philosophical reasons are at the height of this anti-vaccine movement. And, for example, in Oregon, all you have to do is sign a paper. You don't have to have it notarized. You just sign a paper and say that I object on philosophical grounds to having my child vaccinated. I think part of it is not just the autism scare, although that started. And when you start giving children these vaccines, that's about when the time autism becomes apparent. Although autism starts very early in pregnancy, and you don't get the vaccines until a child is 1 year to 15 months old.
Well, it sounds like the challenges are going to be continuing for public health officials for some time, and I guess we'll have to see how they deal with it. But in this day and age, it can be somewhat surprising to read about these outbreaks around the country. Carol, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Of the more than 300 measles outbreaks reported in the U.S. last year, nearly half came out of Rockland County, just north of New York City. Now, our Carol Pearson recently filed this report on what one community is doing to combat new outbreaks.
Because of a measles outbreak that has lasted nearly 6 months, Rockland County, New York, has declared a state of emergency.
Anyone who is under 18 years of age and is unvaccinated against the measles will be barred from public places until the declaration expires in 30 days or until they receive at least their first shot of MMR.
Public places include shopping malls, restaurants, buses, and trains. Police will not be asking for vaccination records, but parents can face a fine of $500 and up to 6 months in prison if they refuse to vaccinate their children. The outbreak is concentrated in the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community. The county executive says it's a matter of getting parents to understand how dangerous measles is.
Every new case is a roll of the dice that could bring on pneumonia, encephalitis, a swelling of the brain, or cause premature birth, which can even lead to kind of complications and even death.
And it's a matter of keeping those who can't get vaccinated safe.
What about the infants who are out there with mom and dad? My newborn grandson is an infant. What about the pregnant, those pregnant and those with compromised immune systems, like cancer patients and survivors? These are the people we need all to step up for.
Vaccine rates in the U.S. are still high. A CDC study found that 94% of children in the U.S. receive the first dose of vaccines that protect against measles, mumps, rubella, and other vaccine-preventable diseases. But vaccines that require boosters, including the vaccine against measles, had lower rates of coverage. Some states allow parents who oppose vaccinating their children for religious or philosophical reasons to opt out. Vaccination rates in these states have dropped steadily. And as they have dropped, cases of measles have increased. Some parents wrongly believe vaccines can cause autism in children. Study after study has shown that not to be true.
These vaccines are well shown to be safe. We have tested them. We have followed children who have received these vaccines. We know how safe they are.
Still, some parents remain unconvinced. Rockland County is offering free measles vaccinations in an effort to end the outbreak. Carol Pearson, VOA News.
Joining us now to tell us about the efforts in Rockland County to limit measles outbreaks, we are joined by Rockland County Executive Ed Day. He was elected county executive in 2013 after more than a decade in the Rockland County Legislature. He was also formerly chief of detectives with the Baltimore Police Department. Mr. Day, thanks so much for joining us.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having us on.
I wanted to ask you about, you know, since the state of emergency went into effect and the worries about people being in public, has that had much impact so far? Have you been able to measure that?
Yes, we have. We've seen both empirically and anecdotally, we've seen an uptick in vaccinations. We are hearing, and it's confirmed by media reports who have actually been to doctor's offices, many people are going to their doctors, their primary care physicians to get the shot. We had about 16,000 or so immunizations. We've had about 700 in the past few days. And again, doctors have 14 days to actually register with the state that they actually issued an immunization. So we are seeing some movement, thankfully. And essentially what we're doing here, as I said, we are continuing the health department's efforts by focusing on the schools, getting the vaccination rates up. It was done in a very judicious manner. But what happened a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we started seeing people telling our investigators, our health professionals who have been going out to visit people who've been sick, to find out what their movements was. That is critically important because, as you likely know, the contagion can last for up to 2 hours on a handrail.
Are you seeing the community attitudes changing? Are you sensing more cooperation?
Absolutely. And that's even in the area where the epicenter was in the beginning, we had 7 sick people come here from Israel during the holy season last fall, and that was the beginnings of the epidemic. We are seeing, again, a very aggressive effort made by many of the local rabbis, and many of the immunizations done was done within the Orthodox community, so we are seeing that. So, yes, we are seeing a positive to this. I can tell you that when I look at my Facebook page, which reaches about 9,000 people, 90% of the people on that page who are local are all supportive of what we're doing. It's the anti-vax movement, which you mentioned earlier, that has gone completely over the top, trying to stop what I hope is inevitable here, that the religious exemptions will no longer be allowed here in Rock, because the bottom line is that it's being abused and people are bypassing good medical practice. People forget, I had measles as a kid. 2.6 million people worldwide died in 1963. That was cut by 95% in the year 2017. That's worldwide. People forget what it was like to have these diseases around. And measles is not rash with a fever. It's a lot worse than that. Many complications we didn't know about years ago became apparent years later.
Ed Day, thanks so much. Well, from one community and how they're dealing with the issue to one family and the debate over whether to vaccinate has actually spilled into some homes. Some teens going as far as taking their parents to court to get the immunization shots they never received. For some, like 18-year-old Ethan Lindenberger, the issue is about the right to make their own health care decisions. Plugged In's Mil Arcega has more.
For Ethan Lindenberger, turning 18 was all about liberation. Not the liberty to drink or to vote, but the freedom to declare his right to get vaccinated.
I saw that my situation was a little more unique than I had, come to believe.
Unique because after his mother learned she had the legal right to prevent her son from receiving vaccines, Ethan took to social media to figure out how to circumvent his mother's wishes, writing, "My parents think vaccines are some kind of government scheme. I've had countless arguments over the topic. But because of their beliefs, I've never been vaccinated for anything. And God knows how I'm still alive." Ethan's post went viral. His mother says his choice to get vaccinated was difficult to accept.
The hardest thing for me was the shock of him choosing to immunize.
But it sparked a lot of discussion within the family.
My oldest daughter is absolutely against vaccinations. My 14-year-old is also against it. And my 16-year-old says, I want to do more research. Opening our eyes to what is there, I think, is great.
There's a distinguishing difference between disagreeing with a parent and trying to disobey them out of spite.
And Ethan is not alone. Other teens have posted similar questions online, all looking for answers on how to make their own health decisions.
I definitely have received messages I've had people contact me that are in a similar situation where they want to pursue vaccinations and their parent or authority figure doesn't believe it's right and that that's not a good decision, and how they approach that situation.
While most states require permission from parents for medical procedures, in at least 7 states, a relatively new legal concept called the Mature Minor Doctrine allows teens to petition to make their own medical decisions. And as measles and mumps outbreaks grows across the country, experts say vaccination is the key.
It's incredibly effective, 97% effectiveness with 2 doses of the vaccine, which is what's recommended for children, and it's inexpensive.
Ethan says for him, getting vaccinated was the right choice. He says his focus has now shifted to the health of his siblings and their right to make their own health decisions.
Well, the young man at the center of that family feud, Ethan Lindenberger, joins us now on Skype from Norwalk, Ohio, not far from Cleveland. Ethan won his fight to get vaccinated, gaining a huge following on social media for starting the conversation. He also recently appeared before a U.S. Senate committee to talk about it. Ethan, thanks so much for joining us today on Plugged In.
Yeah, not a problem. Glad I can be here.
I wanted to ask you just exactly how difficult a decision was this personally to go up against your mom, so to speak.
Yeah, so really all it was is that she talked openly about these beliefs. I'd argue with her about these and I'd be confused. I would have questions and they really weren't answered. And so I turned 18 and soon after that I called her and said, hey, I'm going to do this and I really hope you understand. Explained why I was going to do it. And, you know, even though there were some arguments and there was some frustration and fear, I knew what I was doing was important, and that's what kind of pushed me to continue it, despite that conflict.
What age were you when you started to think about this, when you started to gather information?
So I was probably like 15 or 16, because I would see that my mom would post on social media. She'd have videos that she would share, articles, and people would argue about the points she was presenting, that vaccines cause autism, that they cause brain damage, and she got a lot of backlash for that. So as a young teenager, you know, 15, 16, I thought that was confusing seeing how people would argue with her. And I'd slowly look into it over, you know, the course of that time leading up to the time I turned 18. So for a few years, I looked into it.
I mean, how difficult a process was it to kind of convince her that this is what you wanted to do? Did you make any headway with facts? Just how did that all play out?
Well, the hard part wasn't convincing her I wanted to do it. It was convincing her I wasn't going to get autism or I wasn't going to get maimed because of it. And I still really didn't convince her of that. She was extremely afraid. And even after I got my vaccines, even like a month after, there was still some fear and some unsettlement with my decision. And so I just try and reaffirm that it's important and that I'm safe and I'm fine and I'm even more healthy than my siblings. And hope that resonates eventually, but it hasn't yet.
What would be your overall message then to other young people like yourself who may be questioning or struggling with this issue?
Yeah, just be respectful, be kind. Even though you can feel justified in getting upset because you're being put at a health risk, it's not going to help you in the long run. But also understand that even though you might have family complications, that getting vaccinated is super important, not just for your own health and safety, but for other people. So that's you got to balance that and make a decision accordingly.
Very good. Well, Ethan, thanks so much for joining us today, and we wish you all luck in the future.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
Well, the ability to fight future outbreaks of disease could be at risk following a huge loss of public confidence in vaccines in the Philippines. That's according to a new report from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. The drop in trust could affect the rollout of future vaccination programs. And researchers say the case of the Philippines holds lessons for other countries trying to tackle deadly diseases. VOA's Henry Ridgewell has more.
In 2015, the Philippines began a large-scale dengue fever vaccination program after a rise in cases of the mosquito-borne disease. But in November last year, the French company Sanofi, which makes the vaccine called Denvaxia, said it posed a risk to people who had not previously been exposed to dengue fever. After that, concerns began to spread among the public.
At first, I was afraid because four of my children had already got the vaccine from the health center.
Other countries adapted to Sanofi's announcement by updating guidelines and labeling. But in the Philippines, public concern turned to outrage, fueled, say the report authors, by a highly politicized response from the government.
This was an opportunity to jump on the previous government for all the wrongdoings. Why did you get this vaccine? And it became an uproar and created not only quite a crisis around this vaccine, but it bled into other areas of public confidence in vaccines more broadly.
The researchers picked up the fall in confidence through their ongoing global survey of public trust in vaccines. In 2015, 93% of Filipino respondents strongly agreed that vaccines were important. This year, that figure has fallen to just 32%, while only one in five people believe vaccines are safe.
This dramatic drop in confidence is a real concern about risks to other diseases, such as measles, in the one hand. On the other hand, too, Asia is ripe for a pandemic and influenza viruses to take hold. And in the case of a pandemic or an emergency outbreak, that's not a time when you can build trust.
Larson says misinformation played a big part in undermining confidence.
The role of social media in amplifying those concerns, in amplifying the perception of risk and fears and their public health consequences is dramatic. It's really dramatic.
Immunization programs are being tested to tackle some of the world's deadliest diseases, like malaria. Meanwhile, containing the outbreak of any future pandemic, such as influenza, would likely rely on emergency vaccinations. The report's authors say it's vital that governments and global institutions do more to build public trust in vaccines. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
So with the apparent trend of some people opting out of immunizations, what is the potential impact to the public? Can we strike a balance between so-called anti-vaxxers and the need to keep the rest of us safe? And do vaccines pose any real dangers to otherwise healthy individuals? Well, to help us out with some of these questions, we are glad to be joined by Dr. Lisa Fitzpatrick. She's a CDC-trained epidemiologist and founder of Promoting Practical Health, Inc. Dr. Fitzpatrick, thanks so much for coming into the show again here at Voice of America. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Thanks for having me.
So I was struck doing a little research on this issue. So many various challenges, not just in the United States, but around the world. I'm sure that's not news to you. But I was struck by what's bubbling up in the States and some of these objections now we're hearing that in some small areas seem to be gaining steam. How do you look at what's going on in that area?
I think it's important for us to remember how important vaccinations are and what a public health achievement vaccinations have been. And so we have to use that information and put it in perspective for people who believe vaccinations are harmful. So when we see small cases of or small groups or clusters of these diseases cropping up, it's a clarion call for us to start thinking about how we should better inform the public about the benefits to the public, to the broad public globally around vaccinations. It's pretty indisputable that vaccinations have saved millions of lives around the world. Since smallpox is a great example. Millions of people died from smallpox. And once we had a vaccination, we don't see smallpox anymore. And there are many other diseases similarly that have been either eradicated or drastically reduced because of vaccinations. And it's indisputable.
I think we should also realize that historically, it's not new that people might object for various reasons, religious, personal, invading their space, whatever it is. But I just wonder, reading some of the accounts out in the Pacific Northwest and different parts of the country, there seems to be bubbling up some new kind of twists on this. The government, the interference in my life, big pharma is making money off of this, mm-hmm. or worried about what's in the vaccines. I mean, do public health officials face new challenges now in terms of the various reasons why people are giving they want to object?
I think the biggest challenge we face now is access to communication channels to help people spread their concerns about vaccinations. So many years ago, we had these concerns from patients, community members, people, particularly in some of the homeschooling communities. I've had personal experiences with people who homeschool their children telling me, as a physician, they wouldn't vaccinate their children because they didn't believe in the safety. But we didn't hear about this as much because they didn't have social media to spread the messages. Email still is a relatively new form of communication since the 90s. So I think while it was there, we're hearing about that a lot more now because it's easily accessible information that anyone can access.
So do public health officials around the country, either at the federal level, state, local level, do they need to be more kind of observant of the social media and trying to find different ways to get the information to folks and to, if they have to, counter some of the stuff that's out there?
Absolutely. I think as public health leaders, we haven't done a very good job counteracting the information out about vaccinations. So when a story comes up about similar to the case you just talked about with Ethan, when those cases come up, it's really important for the medical community and the public health community to be very proactive and aggressive about offering information that is appropriate and that counteracts the information about the anti-vaccination misinformation.
And some of this is bubbling up in the States. Are you seeing any evidence that this is traveling overseas and generating any interest in other countries?
Sure. I've talked to a few people who are in Africa because a lot of our work globally takes us to Africa. And we've had some concerns bubble up about some of the vaccination campaigns there. But again, it's important for people to remember, when you look at this on the broad scale, millions of people are protected from these infections compared to the people who are seeing side effects from these vaccinations. And it's just really important for us to put that in perspective, whether it's outside the U.S. or in the U.S., so that people understand how impactful vaccinations are. And the science is indisputable.
Well, Dr. Lisa Fitzpatrick, thank you so much for stopping by today. We appreciate everything that you brought to the table today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for today. Stay plugged in by liking us on Facebook at Voice of America. You can also like Greta's Facebook page at facebook.com/Greta. And you can follow her on Twitter at Greta. I'm Jim Malone. Thanks for being plugged in.
Thanks for listening to VOA's Plugged In.